The new film, The Party, begins with a gun pointed at the camera. It then leaps backward in time. A cocktail party is about to begin. The hostess, Janet, is making appetizers, and she's fielding calls from admirers because she's just become a health official in the British government, and she's celebrating. Janet is played by Kristin Scott Thomas. In this scene, her acerbic best friend, April, and April's boyfriend, Gottfried, arrive at the party.
Congratulations. Thank you. You did it.
My condolences, Janet. Because once you've reached the top of the mountain...
Oh, shut up, Gottfried. Spare us the aphorism. You're a star, Janet. I'm proud of you, even though I think democracy is finished.
Oh, thank you, April. It's so consistent.
But underneath it all, there are secrets that emerge as the other guests arrive, and the evening degenerates into recriminations and revelations. And even so, it's really funny. The Party opens in theaters this Friday. Joining me are the writer and director, Sally Potter, and the actress who plays April, Patricia Clarkson. Sally Potter, I want to start off with you. How did the film come to mind for you on the page and on the screen?
How it came to mind is always a mystery when I start writing something, but I think it's like having your ear to the ground and feeling rumblings and grumblings that need to be expressed. When I started writing, it was during a general election in the UK when the political parties, the right-wing party and the left-wing party, had moved sort of into a centre area and were using very, very similar language to describe supposedly the things that they believed in, which gave one the impression nobody really believed in anything. So the story was about exploring the gap between what people think they believe or possibly really do and how they present themselves to the world, and then how they behave in a situation of crisis which challenges what their deepest beliefs are.
Patricia Clarkson, how did you pick up the mantle of that? I mean, that's a large role. It's a large character that you play in this. Likeable in that this character, April, is very loyal to her friend Janet, and kind of pinched and really nasty at the same time.
But it's all those reasons I wanted to do it. It's as only Sally can write, a truly, deeply complicated, complex woman that challenged me as an actress. I have a very long resume. I'm always looking to be taken to a new place. And so we began a beautiful process of getting to know our characters, getting to know Sally. Sally is a true visionary. She really knows exactly what she wants. I just say, she has eagle eyes, and she sees everything. And she's fierce and passionate. And
loving and kind, of course.
And loving and kind.
Just like some of the characters in the film.
Yes.
So it might be illustrative to find out more about this script and about the way you portrayed this woman, April. Let's hear a little bit. There is a lesbian couple, Martha and Jenny, that are at this party. And they have just announced that they are pregnant with triplets. And April responds.
Was that a boast or a cry for help, Martha? I couldn't quite tell from your tone of voice.
The miracle of conception.
Shut up, Gottfried. Listen, I'm going to propose a toast to my oldest, dearest, and most loyal friend who has achieved a rare thing, which is why we're all here this evening, in case anyone forgot. Babies, excuse me, Jenny, Martha, but babies get born every day in extremely large numbers to the point of endangering the planet and all our futures. It's not every day, however, that one of us becomes a minister.
It is Janet, the hostess, who has become the political minister. That's just a lovely sentiment, Patricia Clarkson. Did that come easily for you or not?
Yes.
You admit to it.
There are shades of and tones and ideas and ideals of April that exist in me.
And for you, Sally, when you say you had your ear to the ground in writing these roles, there's so much cynicism wrapped up in Patricia Clarkson's character. What was going on and what were you hearing that brought this kind of dialogue?
Well, first of all, actually, I never really thought of her as cynical at all. I thought of her as a truth teller. Or perhaps a one-woman Greek chorus commenting on the action, somebody who was pointing out helpfully people's failings, making them face up to hypocrisies, puncturing politeness and going for the jugular of truth. All of these to me are assets.
Martha, you're a first-class lesbian and a second-rate thinker. Must be all those women's studies.
April, really? I am a professor specializing in domestic labor, gender differentiation in American utopianism.
My point exactly.
But what the arc of change in her character is that she starts out, yes, apparently some, you could say, cynicism, but by the end what's clear is she adores her friend. She's extremely tender. She's a revolutionary. She's somebody who cares deeply about things. And that's what's fascinating. That's the contradictions in her character.
Let me ask you, before I ask more about the making of the film itself, about, you know, there are parts of this that made me think of hashtag Me Too. And this was made long before that movement started. But does it resonate with both of you? And did it, Sally, when you were writing the film?
Well, of course, Me Too wasn't around when I was writing it, but I've been through many, many, many waves of ways of approaching the liberation of women from feeling downgrade or second rate or oppressed or harassed or whatever it may be. Of course, as a writer, writing parts for women that are complex and nuanced and interesting and vibrant and of various ages is itself an act of, how can I put it, opposition to the boring and stereotypical way in which women are often portrayed. So in a general way, I try to help move things forward, but not in a didactic way, not as a lecture, but as a celebration of the complexity and humanity of half the human race. And the other half as well, by the way. There are men in the film.
That's right.
For me, what is important is that there are two very important issues that are at stake. One is the criminal predatory behavior of men in our industry that has affected men and women. But out of that and on the shoulders of those brave women and men who have spoken up, it has pulled the curtain back and we realize just the vast inequality that we have allowed to happen in our industry. Like Sally said the other day, for years we've all just been in survival mode. And for years I've always said I'm lucky to be working instead of, yes, of course I should be working. I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 40s, 50s, 60s. I've never heard a man say, oh, I'm lucky to be working. No. And so I think we need more women in power. We need more women writing. We need more women making decisions. We have to, you know, I say we have to, we need more pay, more say, and no lay.
I like that. Let me ask you, just getting back to the film itself, it's shot in black and white. It was done in, as you say, Sally, a fortnight. It was done in about 2 weeks. It's spare to look at. The cast, though, is incredible. Why the short period of time? I mean, maybe that's just a function of the budget. Why black and white? Why the decisions you made?
So a part of a sort of approach to minimal means for maximum effect. How do you tell a story in a kind of skeletal way, but go as deep as you possibly can? So in this case, the priority is the best possible actors, the simplest environment in which we can shoot continuously. And it was indeed shot for a very low budget. Everyone on equal pay, by the way. I think for me, it becomes almost a philosophy of no-waste filmmaking. I think of it as kind of psychic ecology. You know, many films are too long. Our time is precious. There's much wastage on unnecessary stuff or effects or whatever. And to try to work in this way, I think, is incredibly activating. It's like taking out unnecessary information so that all that remains on the screen has an incredible intensity to it. And vibrancy. And in this case, the vibrancy is light and dark, black and white. And that's so appropriate for the subject matter of the story.
And it was essential when we were shooting. There was no margin for error. We had such limited time, resources. And I think as actors, often we tend to get passive and indulgent. And with Sally, we had to rise. We had to rally. We had to be ever present, and there was no downtime. There was absolutely no downtime. So
the film has received some great reviews in Britain. I wonder, as it crosses the pond and opens in the U.S., I mean, it might be greeted just as wonderfully it has been in Britain, but I wonder if you think American audiences might see it differently, having gone through a different kind of set of politics than in Britain.
it's always a gamble and a leap of faith with each new country. I mean, I've been, however, this film has opened in many European countries, and I've been there and sat with audiences watching it with German subtitles, Italian subtitles, Spanish subtitles, Danish subtitles, and so on. And people tend to laugh in the same way and take the universal elements of
the story. Does April translate in all of those languages?
Beautifully, beautifully, Patty. And sometimes when talking about this film, it can sound perhaps heavy because it's dealing with some difficult or even tragic things. But the idea was that to generate cathartic laughter in the audience about these things, to have an opportunity to use laughter as a kind of medicine in troubling times, and really enjoy it. That's what I would hope for people, is that they come out of the film feeling better than they went in.
It's an interesting film. It's a fun film, and I'm still thinking about it. Thank you for making it, Sally Potter and Patricia Clarkson. Thank you both.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.